before you this morning. Father, thank you for another day, for life, health, and strength. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that you continue to extend to us and lavish upon us each and every day. We thank you most of all for Jesus, your Son, who laid down his life on Calvary's cross, that we would have our sins taken away, and that we would have the right to the tree of life, and for that we are eternally grateful. Father, we're mindful today of the passing of Her Majesty the Queen, and your word says that we must pray for those kings, the rulers, and those in authority. We pray that you comfort our family, the nation, those who mourn today, that your will be done. We pray as well for the new king, that you continue to guide him in the way that his will go. Father, we recognize that all power and authority come from you, for you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that one day each of us will bow our knees before your Son and give honor to him. Pray, Father, that you will continue to work out our salvation, recognizing that each of us will face a judge who does all things and all things well. We're also mindful today of the anniversary of the 9/11 attack 21 years ago. For those who continue to mourn, we pray, Father, that men will lay aside hatred and instead love, and help us as well to examine our hearts and consider how we can be more like Jesus in our conversation, in our lives, that we might be an example to the world which we are desperately seeking to save. Bless us as we come together, Father, with the express purpose to honor you, to worship you, the true and the living God. Forgive us for we err, for we do sin, both in not only in word, but also in thought and deed. I pray, Father, that we would be better today than we were even on yesterday. Guide us in the furtherance of our time together in our worship and our study of your word, that you might get the glory. For this is our prayer, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
This morning we continue our study from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, the section, and Matthew 8 and 9 is entitled The King's Power. Last week we studied from Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. Of 18 through 38, which was entitled Restoration to the Broken. The broken whom we saw, studied the story of Jairus and his daughter who was sick and then eventually died. And in the middle of that story, the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And we learn from those situations that there are times in all of our lives in which we will face what we will consider hopeless situations. Things outside of our control from time, and just because we suffer does not mean that we have committed any sort of sin. And so it is important for us to recognize that there are times in which we judge situations wrongly, but God, through his grace and mercy and the power of Jesus, he can change every situation. For he will show up when we least expect it, and God is not limited by time. The woman with the issue of blood suffered for 12 years. But that doesn't mean that she didn't have faith. And it was her faith in both cases, Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood. It was their faith that made them move. And so today we turn our attention to Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 34, broken vision. Broken vision. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, so then we walk by faith, not by sight. So what do you see? What do you see in life itself? So can someone kindly read Matthew chapter 9 verses 27 through 34?
Verse 27 reads, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men told him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? He said to him, yes, Lord. Then he told their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus then warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all the country. And they went out. Behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he cast out demons by the rulers of the demons.
Thank you. The King's Power, Restoration to the Broken. Broken Vision, Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 31. The point of the passage is that Jesus has authority to give sight to the blind, but it requires what? That they have faith. Who can do it? What is faith? What is faith? What is faith?
Believe in something that you can't see.
I love it. Where do we find that in the Bible? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Yeah. What does it say?
Substance of things hoped for.
The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Substance is something you can touch, feel, hold. Of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith doesn't always make sense. Yeah. How much faith do you and I need? According to the Bible. Mustard seed size faith, small faith, yeah? Because God can take a little and make it a lot. Faith believes in what it doesn't see, yeah? Give me an example of faith, an everyday example of faith.
Okay, I have faith that if I sit on this chair, it will not collapse.
I love it. So, you sat in that chair by faith. Yeah, you didn't know about what that chair was going to collapse when you sat on it, but what's the evidence? What's the evidence?
It didn't collapse.
That you're not sitting on the floor right now.
Yeah.
Amen. You and I can't see the oxygen in this room. Yeah, but how do we know there's oxygen in this room? We can breathe. Somebody says, well, I don't believe in that. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to close this door, close that door, seal every window seal, and we're just going to sit here. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Eventually, we're going to suck up all the oxygen in the room, and what's the evidence? We're going to be gasping for air, folks are going to be banging on the door, you're going to try to break the window. So you will have to see it to believe it, yeah? What about pain? Can you see pain?
No.
How do you know there's pain? That's the evidence. You say, well, I don't believe in it. Let me get a brick. Drop it on your, slam it down on your foot. What's gonna happen now? Well, I don't believe in faith. That's how faith works. You don't have to see it, but the evidence is there. To prove, none of us have ever seen God. Well, how do you know there is a God? Huh? Everything has a creator. Folks say, well, I don't believe in a creator. This watch has a creator. Amen. How do I know that? If I took this watch apart, right, and threw it up in the air, all the parts up there, how many times do I have to do that before that watch comes back and a working watch? Huh? So that's not some random thing. Somebody had to sit down and put this thing together. That makes sense? So the watch has a creator. So guess what you got? You got a creator. You didn't create yourself. And so folks say about the Big Bang Theory, atheism, huh? Everything has a creator. And how do I know that? Because you and I are alone. Okay? So faith. You have to have faith. Let's look at the text. Look at the text. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. He departed from there. He had just healed Jairus' daughter, the woman with the issue of blood. Two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. What is mercy? What is mercy?
Unmerited favor.
Unmerited favor. Give me an example of mercy. Mercy. When do you ask for mercy? When do you ask for mercy?
For instance, if I owe you maybe some amount.
A lot of money,
and I cannot pay.
Uh-huh.
And one day, you came to me and you said,
George,
the money I know you can't pay, so I'm forgiving you. This one is a mercy. You have shown mercy.
So what does mercy do for me? What does mercy do for me?
It
releases me of the debt. Do I deserve it?
No.
Yes.
Do you deserve mercy?
No.
Do you deserve mercy?
No.
No, you don't deserve mercy. You were standing before that judge. You knew. You remember we talked about you ran that traffic sign twice on the same police officer pulled you over twice and say, I'm going to let you go, bro. That's mercy. You deserve to go to jail. Well, I'm going to let you go free. Huh? So, Son of David, have mercy on us. Huh? When somebody wrongs you, when somebody trespasses against you, what do you want? What do you want? You want justice. Huh? When you wrong somebody, what do you want? Do you want justice?
Forgiveness.
Why is that? So the thing you want for yourself, you don't want for the other person. Isn't it interesting? Huh? You want, you gotta fix that. You right now, or bend the shoes on the other foot. Huh? So they came to Jesus. And so, blindness was common, very common in the East in those days, and we do not know why. Yeah? These men were blind. What did he ask them? When he had come to the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe what? That he is, and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. So when we come to Jesus, do we believe? Because you know we ask God for a lot of stuff, don't we? Don't we ask God for a lot of stuff? But do we ask in faith? Because it's easy, you know, you say, Mom, listen, Mom, here's your daughter, Laura. Mommy, I need some shoes. Mommy, I'm hungry. Mommy, can you help me? I don't think she's coming in faith. But do we come to God that way? Or do we pray, Lord, if? Huh? What do you mean if? God's not in the if business. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask and think, according to the power that works in us. But that doesn't mean that God or Jesus is like Santa Claus. Yeah? Because guess what? He's not, you can ask God for whatever you want, but he's not obligated to answer or to respond the way you think he's doing. Sure. Huh? How do we know that? 2 Corinthians, in the book of 2 Corinthians, you remember the Apostle Paul had the thorn in the flesh? Huh? You remember that? How many times did he pray? How many times? 3 times. To take it away, Lord. Did he answer that prayer?
No.
He did answer that prayer. He said, my grace is sufficient. Huh? He answered the prayer, but did he take away the thorn in the flesh?
No.
Every prayer gets answered. But God is not necessarily going to work the way you think or want him to. Huh? He answered the prayer, but he said he did not take that thorn in the flesh. Why? What he did to buffet him. You know why? Because if he took it away, then our pride would get in the way. Because we ask God for stuff, and we don't even come back and thank him. Huh? We have selective amnesia, just like the children. Well, you don't remember the time when I did? You don't have to carry on. George, you owe me. Because I did good work for you last week. Huh? Every prayer gets answered. Do you believe, he said, that I am able to do this. Yeah? And so the self-righteous leaders will accuse them of being sinners whom God punished. Remember what we think sometimes? You see folk on the side of the road, one leg, begging, and our mind automatically thinks, what did this person do wrong to be in this position? And what we do sometimes, we judge people. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We judge people. We judge situations. We don't know all the story. You remember the issue of blood? You didn't know. When we started that story, when we started out, you didn't know how much she suffered until we got to the end and realized she couldn't associate with anybody. For 12 years, no husband, no children, no worship. She was a couple. Did she sin? She had a normal menstrual cycle. She tried everything. Huh? That's like us. You do all the right things and it still doesn't work out the way you think it should. That's life. That's life. But she kept coming. She kept coming. She said, if I can only, what do I? Touch the hand of his arm. I don't need to see his face. I just need to get close enough to. But you know what we do sometimes when we've got trouble? We stay home. Huh? I've done it. I'm the preacher. Huh? Don't be like the boy whose mama said, son, you've got to get up and get ready for service. And he said, no, I don't want to go out into those people anymore. She said, but you have to. She said, why? Because you're the preacher. The preacher has one of those moments. You don't think every time the preacher gets up there, he don't want to come every Sunday. Huh? When's the best time to come? When you don't feel like it. Because that's when God will show up. When you reach the end of yourself. So these men came desperate, looking. And so we're not told why these men were blind. And blindness was a serious problem in the East that day. The record states that Jesus healed 6 blind men. This is not the first account. And in each case was different. These 2 men acknowledged Christ as the son of David. And that traces back to Jesus' genealogy on his earthly side. Remember, because he came from the seed line of David. Yeah, and the Jews were very big on genealogy. We are our father Abraham. We've never been in bondage, you remember, they were lying. And persisted to follow him right into the house. Huh? They didn't give up. Blind man. I wonder how they got in their house. No doubt they had friends who helped them. It was their faith that Christ hung them. And what did Jesus do? The Bible says in verse 29, then he touched their eyes, saying, what? According to your faith, let it be to you. How much faith do you have right now? And so there's a measure of faith. If we put it on a scale from 1 to 100, God's going to bless you based on according to the amount of faith that you have. Huh? Somebody said, well, I don't know, 20%. On one day, 5%, maybe 50%. No, it goes up and down then. It goes up and down. According to your faith. Yes.
20%
is
according to your faith.
Yes.
So I don't think you know. And then maybe for 12 years. It was her faith was not so strong. That's why it keeps so long.
What type of faith do we need to have? A little faith, but it's got to be persistent faith. Huh? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that come to God, don't say how many times. That he might, and he's a reward of those that what? Diligently seeking. Huh? Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock. And it will be, it doesn't mean it's a one-off thing. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. You see that all throughout the Bible. Let me give an example. How, we talk about the walls of Jericho. how were they able to fall? They had to be persistent. Huh? If they walked around that wall twice, would their walls have come down? But you know what our problem is? You remember Naaman? The story of Naaman in the Old Testament? Somebody tell me that story. Naaman was a leper. He had this servant. He said, I know a man who can heal you. Huh? And then he went and told him, listen, you need to go dip yourself in the Jordan. And how did Naaman take that? Boy. Can the prophet just come and do what? Wave over me. Wave his hand over me. He knows me to go dip in that dirty Jordan River. Huh? Does faith make sense? Does God have to accommodate you? No. Huh? Quite often what happens is when it doesn't make sense, maybe that's faith. Huh? We want to figure it all out. Well, Lord, can you send me a husband? And if he can be 6 foot tall, slim, got a six pack, and got a lot of money. And if you can send him around Tuesday, because I'll be good. Huh? But the Lord sent you the complete opposite.
That's age 20.
Huh?
Age 20.
We get 35, you say. Huh? Anyway you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. Huh? But see, we laugh about that, so when we pray, when we come to God, it's with an expectation that no matter what he says or what he does, remember Job? The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name. Listen, Lord, if you gotta shut this thing down, I'm still gonna blame you. Sometimes God has to take stuff out in order for us to grow. Huh? According to your faith, let it be done. And so Jesus explains this in John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Look, notice that. Can someone read that? John chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Because you're looking for a Bible example.
This one reads. Now it's just passed by. He saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned this man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the words of God should be revealed in him. I must walk the walk of him who sent me. While it is day, the night is coming when no one can walk. As long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world.
All right. Who sinned? This man or his mother, that this man was born blind? What happened? How did this happen? That's human nature. He said no. But that, what did he say? What did the answer? Neither this man nor his parents, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Yeah? So blindness. You remember that song, Amazing Grace? How sweet the song that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. What type of blindness is Jesus referring to here? What type of blindness? Spiritual blindness. See, we're walking around. And you know what our problem is? We're judging the world based on what we can see through our eyes, but not through God's eyes. The queen died, and you know folk are condemning the queen. She's as human as you and I, and she will be judged just like you and I. And guess what? You may be standing the same line that she's standing in. Huh? Well, I'm better than you're not better than her. You're not better than her. None of us, for all have sinned. Romans 3:23. So while you're around there casting a stone, she wasn't perfect and you're not perfect either. She made mistakes and you made a lot of mistakes too. While we have a responsibility. Blindness was symbolic of spiritual ignorance. We're walking around. There are a lot of folk that show the walking dead. We were the walking dead. were living but not living, seeing but can see. So you really don't know what you're saying. It depends on what you're looking at. Yeah? So we want to look at things through the eyes of Jesus and faith, just as sight was symbolic of what? Understanding. The Bible says, in all by getting, get understanding. So you can read the scripture. You've read all these scriptures. Some of you have read all these scriptures before. But did you see this before? Did you see this before? You read it. You put your eyes on it, but did you really see? And so, he says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. It's better to work during the daytime because I can see more. We're living in God's daytime, but the night's coming. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And notice Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. This is the world's situation or circumstance. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Here was Isaiah commissioned as a prophet to go and talk to God's people. And this was what God told him to say. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Says what?
And he said, go and tell these people, keep on hearing, for do not understand. Keep on seeing, for do not perceive. Make the hearts of these people dull, and that he is heavy, and shut their eyes. Lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and return and be healed.
Okay. What is God's will for you and me? What is God's will for you and me? What does the Brother Paul preached a sermon 2 weeks ago. What does God want from us? What is God's will?
Obedience.
Obedience. To what? What's that?
To
faith. I love it. God desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants a relationship with you. Yeah? But you've got to see that. And we're going to show you that. Where is that in, is it 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy? Make sure they haven't moved it. First Timothy chapter 2. Here's your scripture. 1 Timothy, this is a Bible class. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. God wants the church to pray for those in authority so that we can have the freedom to go up and save people. You have a command to pray for the good ones and the bad ones, the ones you like and the ones you don't like. Amen. Why? Here's verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will for you. God's will is not that you get a good job or good education so you can make good money, so you can retire and have a good life. That's not God's will for you. God's will is that every man be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I don't know what my purpose is. What does God want from me? That's what God wants. And we are his agents to get that mission accomplished. And so he sent Isaiah, he said, you go and preach to them. And he says, make the heart of this people grow, of this people dull. The Pharisees were standing right there, looking at Jesus, but did they see Jesus? Did they understand his mission and message? Does the world understand what the church's purpose is today? Are you Christians? I'm having fun living my own life. I'm drinking, I'm living, you know, self-made man, self-made woman. Life is cool. Is that right? Yeah? And so he quoted that in Acts chapter 26, verses 24 to 26, and Jesus used the symbolism in John chapter 9, verses 39 through 41. In John chapter 9, remember Jesus healed that man. He was blind. And they asked him, the scribes and Pharisees asked him, who made you, who healed you? And then they called his mother and father in, remember, and said, who healed him? And what did mom and daddy say? He could answer for himself. What? Because they didn't want to get thrown out of the synagogue. And then they found the man. They said, well, who healed you? Jesus. John chapter 9, verses, I get excited now. Jesus said in verse 39, for judgment have come into this world, that those who do not see may what? See. And those who see may be made blind. Huh? That's interesting. Those who can see, I'm going to help to see. Huh? And those who can't see, I'm going to make them blind. The Bible says, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you know you can educate yourself right out of the Bible? I know people like that. Huh? You meet them, say, what you doing, John? Oh, I'm going to school to become a preacher. That's great. That's great. Next, I meet him 5 years later. What you doing, Joe? I'm still in school. I'm doing my master's.
That's great.
Meet him a few more years. He's got a PhD. Doctor. The Honorable Minister. The Right Honorable. Huh? Then he says, well, I don't believe in that Jesus stuff anymore because I come up with some new truth. He started his own thing over here. He's lost his mind. Now he's got disciples running behind him, and he's on TV. He's got books. He's doing it all up. Oh, he's forgot about Jesus. You better make sure you stick with this book and stick with Jesus, because he could see when he started out, but not he can't see anymore. He's spiritually blind. Well, watch this now. Verse number 40, then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words, and they said to him, are we blind also? You better be careful when you start questioning Jesus. Are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. Isn't it interesting? Blind folk, you know, one of the reasons we sin is we see too much. Looking at that girl, looking at that boy, looking at that weed, looking at that gym, looking at that alcohol. Come on. Looking at that other person's house. If you were blind, you wouldn't know. Say, folks, I want to see. No, you don't want to see, Lord. If you're going to make me blind for me to get to heaven. Nobody prays like that. Let me stop that. But he said, but now you say, receive. Now you say, receive. Therefore, your sin remains. See, Jesus showed up to show you who you really were or who we really are. When we look into the Word of God, we say, oh my Lord, I'm in trouble. Peter says the Word of God is like a mirror. The natural man observes himself in the mirror. Huh? What you looking in the mirror for? You look into the mirror to see what's wrong. Oh my word, my hair is all, oh my. You know the ladies are putting on the wall paint, I mean makeup. Huh? They want to make sure everything. You don't just look in the mirror and say, man, I go too up and just leave the house. When you look in the Word of God, you say, man, I'm too up. I need to fix some stuff. But you've got to have the courage. So first you've got to see that. So don't come in here and say, oh, that, you know, Barbara should have been here. That message was for her. No, it was for you. That was for you. Huh? God fashioned that message just for you. Yeah? So therefore your sin remains. And so in other words, some who have physical sight are blind to the truth. Blind to the truth. You know when truth shows up, you know you have that feeling? That feeling, oh, my Lord is talking to me. He's talking. I'm not talking to you, it's the word of God talking to you. Huh? They are what? Spiritually blind. If they continue to refuse to believe, that's faith, and then faith, then, like ancient Israel, they would remain in their blindness. He has the authority to seal up their spiritual blindness as a judgment if they what? You know what's wrong. I know what's wrong. But you know what we do? We fight it. We fight it. Let the blind remain. If you're blind, count that as a blessing. Physically blind. But nobody wants to be blind. No, nobody says, Lord, if I have to wake up tomorrow morning and if I'm blind, praise, I want to see. I want to see. Huh? My game's coming on tonight, this afternoon. I've got to go. Huh? And so like Paul, people may be well versed in the knowledge of theology and scripture, but until God shines in their hearts, they cannot see. Turn with me to 2 Peter. This is powerful. I want you to underline some things in your Bible. This is going to change your life today. Huh? 2 Peter, chapter 1. Now you remember, I'll give you a history lesson. Jesus had 12 disciples. They became the 12 apostles. But he had three. He had three who were his inner circle. Three close friends. Who were they? Peter, James, and John. And who was the one that he loved? Peter. John. You remember Peter said, what about him? Is that work? Don't worry about him. No. You know, we get jealous. Don't we get jealous? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Mama liked me, but she liked me more than she liked. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. He says, but also for this reason. Remember, right? Make sure. Yeah, giving all diligence, add to your faith. We talk about faith, virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. That means the ability to keep on keeping on. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. This is like a stair step. So faith is what puts you into Christ, and faith is what will keep you in Christ. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And so it's like going up a set of stairs. So as we grow, we want to get closer to Jesus. He says, keep on doing these things. He says, what is it? Verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the what? Knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is what? Short-sighted. That's like spiritual myopia. Huh? You know, that's why I'm wearing these glasses. I have excellent vision. I can see far away. I don't have a problem, but it's when I have to get up close. Huh? I woke up about 3 years ago. I had 20/20 vision. And now I'm looking like, wait a minute, hang on now. I had to go get some help because I can't see. Huh? So I went to Boots Opticians, and they gave me a new pair of eyes. And now, I'm back. It's like HD. He says is short-sighted even to blindness. You can understand that in the natural, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old ways. You can see it one thing, but you're missing it. You're missing it. So if I don't like the preacher, don't worry about what the preacher is. You better make sure it's the word of God. You stick with the word. Amen. And so, keep reading now. Verse 16 through 16 through 21. So, he says, This is Peter writing, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, this wasn't a fairy tale. "But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty on the Mount of Transfiguration." You remember Peter, James, and John were there. And they made that proposal to build those tabernacles. The word eyewitness in the text is what we get the English word for autopsy. What is an autopsy? When somebody doesn't get an autopsy, what is that? You don't know what that is?
To find out the cause of death.
How did they do that? Yes, but guess what? An autopsy is a visual examination. Huh? It is a... He's not the person, the medical examiner, the coroner. He's not just reading a book. He's looking. But he said, "We autopsied Jesus. We saw him." In order to be a witness, you had to have what? Seen something. I can't say, "Well, somebody told me." You're not a witness. Huh? That's like the Jehovah Witnesses. They're not witnesses. They haven't seen anything. Huh? You never saw Jesus. None of us have ever seen Jesus. You can't call yourself a witness if you've never seen him. Amen. We sing the song, "Oh, I want to see him," but you've never seen him. You've seen the evidence. And so they said, "We autopsied. We saw Jesus." Watch this now. Burn some of this. He said, "Listen, for we saw Jesus, his majesty." Verse number 17, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And look at verse 18. "And we heard his voice." So they were not only eyewitnesses, but they were also ear witnesses. Huh? They heard. When the Lord spoke, when God spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So that means that what they said could be credible witness or testimony. And verse number 19, "And so we, Peter, James, and John, have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to what? Heed as a light that shines in a dark place." The Bible is credible because this is not secondhand information. The men that heard and saw Jesus wrote these things down to develop your faith. Amen. We saw him, we heard it. And so, "As a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises," where? "In your hearts." Knowing first, this verse, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. You hear people saying, "God told me." You hear people saying, "God told me."
Yeah.
No, you got to be careful that you're following and listening to people like that, because guess what? They haven't heard anything. They haven't seen anything. They are not. What were he telling me there? You got book, chapter, and verse? No scripture. God is not a respected person. It's a private interpretation. But watch this now. "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." It was God breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished in every good work." We have everything we need from God in this Bible. So if someone is telling you something that's not in this Bible, you need to not listen to that person. I don't care who they are. I don't care how many PhDs they have and how many reverend, doctor, whoever, that got before and after the name, and even if their name is on the front of the building, it better be in him. And so, broken vision. These men were physically blind, and Jesus gave them sight. They had faith. The ones that were physically sighted didn't have any faith. And you know why? You know why sometimes we suffer longer than we have to? Because we don't see things the way God sees. We walk by faith, not by sight. It may look like Hannah is miserable, but when I really get to know her, and I really understand her story, I say, thank you for sharing that with me, Sister Hannah. Now I understand. You see that the reason why she doesn't come is because every once in a while, every month she has fibromyalgia or some other chronic illness that forces her to stay home. And she can't come every Sunday. I understand, sis. I'm a pray for her. So rather than me sitting here condemning her, I'm a pray for her. Yeah? I'm just going to leave with this. I'm going to skip ahead in the verse in Matthew chapter 9 and tie these things together and the message is short, or the lesson is short. Matthew 9 verse 35. Then Jesus spent all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. What is compassion? What is compassion? What is compassion? You hear people saying, you have my sympathy. Is sympathy and compassion the same thing? Is it? Some say yes, some say no. Okay, that's your homework. That's your homework next week, Sunday. I want you to tell me the difference between sympathy. Jesus was moved with compassion. Yes. Amen. So what's the difference? Is there a difference? And what is that difference? Somebody says yes, yes.
Sympathy is, you know, to sort of, you realize that somebody has a problem, you want to share with them, but compassion is actually you, it's much deeper because, like you can say, it's trying to feel the person's pain directly.
So we should have compassion for people. Do we have compassion for people? And if not, why not? Yeah, because, again, we're talking about vision. A lot of times we judge situations based on what we see. But that's it through the eyes, the physical eyes. Isn't that right? Sister Ruth here is a nurse. Your job is, and through years of experience, patient comes and says, I've got this, and as they're talking, guess what you're doing? You're making an evaluation. And they may say, well, I think it's this. And you say, no, it's such and such. Do you know why? Because of the experience in her own life, she didn't have compassion for that person. I know how you feel. Give me a second, let me go talk to the doctor. I'm gonna bring something back. And we're going to see what we can do for you. You see that? And so that takes place over a period of time. But guess what? If not, so we can go to that extreme, or the opposite side is we get bitter. We get bitter, just like those Pharisees. You ever met a bitter Christian? I met a few. And so Jesus, through his power, according to your faith, according to your faith. It doesn't have to be mountain size, big mustard seed size. Any other thoughts or comments before we close? What's your homework? Somebody's going to teach this class on Sunday. Lord willing, somebody's going to get up. Brother Smith, this is what I learned. And teachers, because I'm willing to. I'm going to do some studying, and we're going to come together, we're going to learn something. Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right. Amen. Brother George, would you be kind enough to close us out for a word of prayer?
Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we thank you this morning for bringing the opportunity you have given to us to come together as one children. We thank you for the teachings I've got this morning from our dear brother. We pray that you first help us so that we can memorize all what we have learned so far and practices. He also used this opportunity to beg and plead for the teacher, help him so that any time he looks into your world, he can deeply understand it and share it here so that we all can grow together and know our works and duties as Christians. Help us so that we can grow and be not just without love for all the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.